Hello, it's Monday, June 13th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 9. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please send us an email at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Also, check out our website at www.dreamstation.cc for video game news, previews, and reviews. Introduce the panel of guys we have today. We have Phil.
Hello, listeners.
We have Bob.
Hiya.
And we have Keith.
Word.
Today, we will be talking about an update on the voice actor strike, Halo on the big screen, no hard drive for the PS3, the E3 demos for the PlayStation 3 are a sham, the Nintendo Revolution specs and information, the Battlegrounds patch for World of Warcraft, our forum topic of the week, and an Xbox review of LEGO Star Wars.
Next topic.
This week in housekeeping, a couple things that we wanted to clarify here. First of all, really, I'm the only big news and rumor hound. Everybody else is kind of casual about their information. We had some emails saying, hey, you guys were wrong about this, that, or the other thing. I clarify some of the mistakes if they're pretty blatant and obvious, but as far as that, it's really an opinion-based show. We'll throw the news
most
out.
Most of the mistakes we just ignore and sweep under the carpet.
It's an opinion-based show. I mean, I'll throw the news out there, and we basically discuss it. Nobody has scripts. We don't rehearse this stuff. In general, it's just guys shooting the breeze about gaming. We're kind of just recording a conversation we would have had anyways. It's just a little more structure to it, that's all.
Next topic.
The voice actor strike. We talked about this, for the past two or three shows. Summarizing it briefly, the voice actors for video games wanted more pay. They actually picketed and striked. The voice actor strike update is that they will not strike for now. They did get a 36% pay increase. They did not get the residuals that they were looking for. And according to them, the battle isn't over.
This show's a little bit biased, I think, both of us sort of being from the realm of the developer, seeing voice actors complaining about their paycheck. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
Keep dreaming there. Zombie number 5.
Next topic.
Halo on the big screen. Microsoft wants to put out Halo the movie. It's supposed to be released in 2007. They had all kinds of outrageous demands, such as they wanted $10 million in advance. They wanted a budget of at least $75 million. Microsoft wanted approval over the cast and director.
$75 million?
Isn't an average budget about that for a big action movie, though?
You just put Halo. You know my opinion of Halo.
It's not going to be a good movie anyway. I mean, it's based on video game.
Is it all going to be CG?
I don't even know if they know yet.
If it's CGI, I would expect that number to be a little low.
They're still trying to get a studio to handle this. And there's two studios that are kind of left. I believe that they're going to be splitting the costs and everything, and their Universal Pictures is going to handle the United States distribution, and 20th Century Fox is going to handle the international distribution. The other kind of outrageous approval that they needed was they have like a Halo Bible, that in the Halo Bible it says here's the story, here's the plot, here's the things that you aren't allowed to change. Because a lot of times, you know, you see X-Men and these guys, they change the origins of all the superheroes. They change the power stuff.
Make Catwoman and Kingpin black.
Everybody in Spawn that was black, they make them white.
Yeah, for no good reason.
Yeah. I don't think they released any of the actors or anything yet. I don't even know that.
$75 million. Dude, they made The Punisher for $17 million. All right. Halo does not deserve more money than The Punisher.
Yeah, there was a lot of destruction in The Punisher.
Resident Evil Apocalypse, $35 million to make. It grossed $40 million, which, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. Notoriously, yes, Keith, I totally agree with you. Most video game movies are very bad. There's only a handful of ones that stand up. I know Resident Evil...
In the reverse, the video games based on the movies are usually just as bad as the movies that were based on other video games.
Video games and movies were not ever meant to mix.
And really, it's been the same with the comic book movies. Up until very recently, the comic book movies have been a joke, too. I think it's just you need somebody to take care of the actual topic. There's a horrible director, Uwe Boll. He made House of the Dead, who I actually own the movie. It was given to me as part of a promotion piece for some of the games. Horrible, horrible pile of crap. He did Alone in the Dark, I believe. He's going to be doing Blood Rain, Dungeon Siege, Hunter the Reckoning, Far Cry.
A lot of those games have good potential as a movie.
I think Blood Rain, you get the right hot chick, you slap some vampire teeth in her, and you're good to go.
You're not even going to get the hot... Kate
Beckinsale.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Kate Beckinsale.
Kristanna Loken is playing Rain.
I have no idea who that is.
She's the chick from Terminator. That's who it is. The new latest Terminator.
All right, she could pull it off. I'm sorry that you're going to still have a horrible movie to act in, but the point is, 90% of the time, video game movies suck. Halo, I guess there's a story there. I mean, it's the same story as any other alien invasion where, you know, one dude fights alone to fight off the hordes of bad guys. Paul Arnold back, he's pretty familiar with the material. Just like everything else, has potential. I mean, Doom 3, The Rock is going to play the main dude from Doom 3. You could take Doom 3, whatever the name of the aliens in Doom 3 is, replace them with the name of the aliens from Halo, and you have the same movie anyway. Instead of coming from hell, they come from space. Big friggin' deal.
They come from Mars.
Explosion.
Just come from Mars, regardless.
I give them credit for what they're trying to do. They have the Halo Bible. You cannot change the fact that the lead character has buck teeth, a limp, and a hair lip. That's just part of the comes with the territory.
Now that's an underdog.
That really narrows down your list of actors besides, what's his name, Ron Howard's brother. You know, that's someone who needs his own movie. We need to get, I don't even know his first name, but Ron Howard's brother, that goofy-looking guy with the bald, has the crazy eyes, the whacked-out teeth, he needs to be a hero in a movie.
Quickly,
make
Sabrina,
him half
get into the rocket
movie.
Ship. The good thing I have this exoskeleton. I can't be exposed to the regular air.
I just think a dib from Invader Zim when in that one episode when everything is replaced with a little piggy, and by the end of the episode he's talking like this and he has a contraption on his back because he's damaged his brain. Anyways, that's getting way out of
there. Right.
Did you notice that uncomfortable silence, Chris?
Next topic.
PlayStation 3, no hard drive.
That's bullshit.
Their line of reasoning was that no matter how big of a drive they use, it's not big enough. So by whatever weird Japanese logic and mathematics that they have, anything is less than zero when zero is not enough or something. That was a horrible analogy. I'm going to edit that one right down
the line. I want to hear that. They need to see who's doing our research and why we can't get yelled at.
Hey, guys, I figured out a formula for the PlayStation 3 hard drive. As X approaches infinity, you get an asymptote.
No matter how big of a drive they were to put in, it would not be big enough. Therefore, no hard drive at all is better somehow.
Okay, we acknowledge that it's not big enough. We'll just have to make do with what it was.
So what are you supposed to do? Just buy like an external USB one or something? Or just not at all?
Supposedly it's going to be available at release time. The other thing is that the PlayStation 3 execs are very intent on calling this thing a supercomputer. It's not a gaming console. Basically, to call it a computer, they need to run operating systems on it. So the optional hard drive will be able to run Linux, possibly other OSs at the developer's option. And I think Bob nailed it directly on the head. It's to get the price down a little more. You got to get that $300 price point.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually get the price down because you still have to buy this extra piece.
It is. It's my biggest worry because that's exactly what happened with this gen. The hard drive isn't going to be developed for since it's not standard equipment. I don't know how they're going to say it's required. I don't know how these guys are going to take advantage of a hard drive being there if it's not always there.
Next topic.
The PS3 E3 demos. NVIDIA, who has the graphics chipset for the PlayStation 3, came out public and said that the graphics chipset wasn't yet finished at the time of E3. Therefore, all of the stuff that with PlayStation 3 was real time is BS. Yeah, and we had already talked about this.
Why would PlayStation do that?
I mean, we saw Killzone. We were all like, wow, this is really cool stuff. No way it can be real. But when asked that question directly, Sony execs said, no, dude, that's real time. And I don't understand
based on the exact specs of the machine that they're going to have. So that's what real time will look like when there's real time capabilities.
And what's the release date supposed to be on that?
PlayStation 3 is spring of next year, but I think the chipset is going to be done in the end of one of these J months here. Either this month or next month it'll be done. And then they can start to do real demos of the system and what it can really do. But until then, NVIDIA just said, yeah, all that stuff, CGI. Sorry.
Let's watch Microsoft go. You know how we said it's about the games now? Yeah, we changed it back to it's about the hardware.
We have some over here, and they don't.
And there's Nintendo holding the micro.
So, yeah, it's a sham. We kind of thought it was. Not just us. I mean, we're not that great. Everybody kind of thought it was a sham.
I'm now rooting for Nintendo simply for the fact they're the only ones that haven't come out rooting, tooting cowboys and done anything yet. They just haven't done anything.
Instead of coming out and blowing smoke like Sony blatantly did, and Xbox to a lesser extent, because at least they had running demos on emulated kind of software. But Nintendo came out and held up their little box and kind of went, this is all we got. Sorry, at least we're not lying. So I do. I mean, it sounds like I'm ripping, but
this may sound like we're ripping on Nintendo, but we're actually rooting for them with this thing.
Yeah,
because go Nintendo.
Blow sunshine up everyone's butt. Mario sunshine. I mean, I don't understand why more people aren't up in arms. And while we're kind of on the topic, they had the E3 Best Critic Awards or whatever it is, and Killzone 2 won Best Computer Graphics. Which, I mean, that's kind of like Milli Vanilli winning a Grammy, isn't it? It's the same kind of deal.
Next topic.
Nintendo Revolution specs and info, while we're talking about Nintendo. It was found out, though, that the Nintendo guys came out and squashed the rumor that the older games would be free of charge. The Nintendo president came out and said, no, sorry, that was just a wild, crazy rumor. We're going to charge for the older games. We don't have details on it. We're probably going to do some kind of things where you can download games in certain circumstances. For example, maybe if you buy a game or pre-order a game, you can get a free older game, or a game can be played for a certain amount of time before it disintegrates off your machine if somehow.
All right, you see, Nintendo's earning respect just by, you know, not being a putz.
Yes, there's rumors out there, and the guy's like, wait, we never said that. As far as some more of the system specs, 512 megabytes onboard flash memory. There will be no hard drive. There will be SD memory cards for storage. When your 512 meg flash memory fills up, you can put it off onto an SD memory card of some sort for storage so that it's not really a matter of, you know, is half a gig enough? From what they were saying, yes, it will be enough, first of all, but secondly, if it really isn't enough, you can throw that stuff on some sort of removable media. They will accept all current gen peripherals, so the dance mat, the Wavebird wireless controllers, the Congo drums, and every other weird kind of controller that Nintendo has come out with will be supported on their next gen, the Revolution, which is cool. That's more important to me than the games being backwards compatible. I mean, a controller is a controller. I bought 4 controllers for every system I've ever owned, and every time a new system comes out, you gotta buy 4 more. One thing we are going to kind of rip on Nintendo about here now is that they have come out and said they will not be supporting high definition. The definition of high definition, as I've seen it in the news articles, is 720p and up. So it will support the progressive, supports 480p, you know, cool. But because it's going to be a higher cost to the consumer, it'll be a higher cost to the developer, Nintendo has said there's really not a huge need for a high def in the next-gen console. The reason that I'm a little bit worried about this is because according to the Consumer Electronics Association, today 12% of the households have TVs that are HD compatible. In 2006, it's going to go up to...
Really?
It's going to go up to 30% in 2006. It's going to go up to 50% of all households having TVs that are HD in 2007. And in 2008, it's going to be 68% of households.
Yeah, but think about it. Each TV that they're making now is going to be HD compatible.
In Nintendo's defense, like they said, it's going to be cheaper. And they're saying that it's all hype and glory. One of the things that they're having... they're saying is that some of these developers, it's more time to work, it's more time to optimize it because you have such a higher resolution and all this high quality everything that instead of running it a nice smooth 30 or 60 frames per second, you're running it 15 or 20 because you're rendering 3 times as much stuff as you would normally. And I can agree with that. I just think if you had some extra horsepower to throw at that stuff, it wouldn't be as big of an issue. We'll see how it goes.
Next topic.
World of Warcraft, the Battlegrounds patch, the 1.5 patch, is out. There's been some mixed reviews. None of us currently are playing World of Warcraft. We were trying to get some information off of the forums and some other news places to see what's really the scoop, what's really going on, because World of Warcraft forums are screaming with the typical World of Warcraft whiners. You know, one of the biggest reasons we got out of the game is because it's panic and gloom and doom every step of the way. So we've heard that the Horde and the Alliance are imbalanced. We've mentioned this before. There's usually 3-to-1 ratio. There's 3 Alliance for every 1 Horde. The Battlegrounds takes between 30 minutes and a couple hours to get into. They added some bugs with warlocks and the way they get soul shards and stuff.
Since there are so few Horde, as soon as they start losing a battleground, they don't care that, you know, the Alliance people waited an hour and a half to get in. They're just like, okay, we're losing. Let's leave and go join a different battleground.
Not being able to play with your friends and guildmates, that when you try and go in, you have a group of 5 or 6 people that your friends that you want to jump into the a capture the flag match or whatever with. You can't because the way it's set up, it's going to, like, go into a restaurant. Well, if you have a party of 2, you're going to jump in and you'll be eaten in 5-10 minutes. If you have a party of 10, good luck. You're going to be waiting there for hours and hours and hours. No death penalty. You wait like 30 seconds or something and then you resurrect. So the Horde is saying that does ruin the strategy. I would honestly like to try it. I don't want to try it enough that I'm willing to spend another $15 to renew a subscription for 1 month. Plus, with all the horror stories, what a lot of people were saying, a level 50 character is kind of useless in these things because everybody is 60. So you're trying to get a level 50 guy and you're basically reduced to the the menial task. Hey, go get us some lumber for our arrows. Go capture a gold mine somewhere. If you try and wander into the actual fighting, you just get work. It needs a lot of tweaking. It's a really good starting point, but it's not the main attraction to World of Warcraft. But I'm curious to see how it is and what it's like, because I do like Capture the Flag. I like Battlefield 1942, where you have giant armies on each side. Savage is another game that we had played where it's kind of an RTS mentality.
That
where
a cool game.
Yeah, you get 100 on 100, and there's a kind of a commander kind of tactics trying to figure out where you're going to go. All right, you 10 go over here and clear out this base of the trolls so that we can get gold, whatever, whatever. Just cool idea. That's where gaming, I think, needs to go.
I'm going
to
say it now. If for all anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you haven't tried Savage, at least download the demo of it or something. Just take a look at it. It's a fantastic game, and we were complaining about innovation last time on the show, and this was one of the few innovative games that's come out in the past few years. It was a great idea for a game, really well put together. It just wasn't popular enough to run with as few people as you did play it.
Savage is kind of, there's two sides. For one player on each side, they're playing an RTS game, a top-down kind of Warcraft 3 view where you can drag and select your fighters and your workers and have them, you know, create a barracks and then upgrade the barracks and then create, you know, assault weapons, yada, yada, yada. And then same thing for the other side. And for all of the other players in the game, it's a first-person shooter where you're running in, I believe it might even be third-person, I don't remember. It's been a while. But they're running around and you see, like, the hand of God select you and give you the task. So you and five of your friends have to go...
Let me clarify real quick. Pretty much, you just missed the key point, is that when you're... The rest of the players are, like, the soldiers that the RTS commander is selecting. So you are going to be the fighter or the guy who he's telling to get wood.
It's more realistic. You know, in all these other real-time strategy games, you have this stupid peasant cutting down trees for 3 hours, and that's all he does. People are going to get bored of that, so they're going to say, F you, they're going to charge into battle, get slaughtered, and then cost you the game. That's part of it. I mean, that's part of the fun of it. It sounds like it's not, but that's part of the fun of it. Totally echo everything Bob just said. S2 Games is the guys who made it. Savage, download the demo if nothing else. And unfortunately, you do. You need at least 20 people to really play a good game of it. It's kind of like Battlefield 1942. You can't just play it with four or five guys.
Next topic.
The forum topics for the week. The old question we asked for last week was, is $60 too much for video games? Yes or no? 77% of the voting population said yes. The 23% said no, it was not too much. What Jimmy said that, you know, they're going to require more time to create the game assets, and the danger, of course, is that we end up with one or two big game companies, and then he had, you know, a derogatory EA comment in the parentheses there, due to the rising cost of games, and I agree with him 100%, and that's what we're seeing now. Smaller developers are not making the titles. Redeema, that he doesn't pay full price for games unless they have extras, for example, t-shirts, demo discs, strategy guides, calendars, whatever else. A lot of games are saying, if you do pre-order, you get bonus in-game items, you get to play in the beta. There's incentive to do it, so I agree with Redeema. He also says that comparison shopping is the way to go, so that the game companies are forced to cater to our needs, because he brought up a couple good points in that thread, was that the games come out for $50. If you're willing to wait even a week, you'll find it on sale for $35 at some, you know, rebate
on
or
eBay?
Something else. Well, on eBay...
Yeah, somebody will give you some type of rebate.
WhoCast, he said the price point is about $49.99. That's the price everyone is used to paying, so anything more than that, and it's probably going to hurt the sales. I agree. Sunfire66 said she doesn't mind waiting for the prices to come down, but sometimes you can't wait. It depends on what you're trying to play and how badly you want to play it. For next week, the question we're going to pose is, do time-based exclusives help or hurt anyone? What I mean by this is, for example, Grand Theft Auto just came out on PC and Xbox this past week. So for the last, 2 months or whatever it was a PlayStation 2 exclusive. A lot of games, you know, Dead to Rights came out on the Xbox, and it was on the Xbox for a certain amount of time before it was brought over to the PlayStation 2. Stuff like that. So it's not exclusive games like Ghost Recon or even like, you know, the Tekken series. The Tekken series is not going to be on the Xbox, you know, unless something horrible happens to Sony. But time-based exclusives where for 6 months we're going to make sure that Knights of the Old Republic will only be for the Xbox. After that 6 months is up, you can have it for PC and you can have it on PlayStation 2. Does that really actually hurt anybody? Or do we just not care? Whatever, fine. The Xbox owners waited for Grand Theft. There's plenty of other games to play. They'll pick up Grand Theft when it comes out. Not a big deal. So the question will be yes or no. I'll post it on the forums. www.dreamstation.cc. On the left-hand side, there is an area for forums. Under the general discussion, there will be the poll posted.
Next topic.
It's review time. I got a chance 2 weekends ago to play Lego Star Wars for the Xbox. I was actually pretty impressed with Lego Star Wars. I know all of us growing up, we kind of grew up in the same era where Legos were a big part and Star Wars a big part. So you squish those two together, you have a game based on Star Wars with the little crazy looking Lego characters, the little yellow heads, and they have the hands that are just the little claw hands that don't actually close or anything.
Crab hands.
Thank you, crab hands. It was actually a really fun game. It got pretty repetitive. What it is it's kind of a 3D beat-em-up game, kind of like your Double Dragons or your Ninja Turtles Final Fight. Less linear
Golden
than those
Axe,
games,
maybe.
Because those games said, you know, the big arrow pointed you to go to the right, and it would just do that until you actually moved. But there was a whole ton of unlockable things. As you go through the game, you collect everything that blows up or gets destroyed, breaks down into little Lego blocks. The little Lego blocks are currency that you can pick up, and you can use that currency to spend on unlockables, more characters, more levels, yada, yada, yada. Some of the missions you're flying around in a spaceship, the majority of them, however, are kind of land-based missions. You can play as all the different characters, Darth Maul they had in there. I mean, they have every character you could think of, and they have three versions of it. They have 100 different types of stormtroopers. It's just a ton of content. You know, you can be Yoda, and Yoda hops around with his lightsaber. You can be Chewbacca. One of the big draws for a lot of people was that it had a lot of the Episode 3 spoilers before Episode 3 came out, so it had all the stuff that you were waiting for in the movie. It did have movie scenes in it, kind of legified. You know, you would have Lego versions of Obi-Wan and Anakin flying in their spaceships trying to, in the beginning of Episode 3, if you haven't seen it, we're not giving anything away, fighting all those other spaceships, and then when they land, those two fight Count Dooku. I mean, stuff like that. It was actually pretty cool, and it was fun. I actually played it over a friend's house, and it was myself and his daughter, who's, I think, 5 years old, and she could play it well enough that it wasn't me, like, going, all right, dude, come this way. All right, stop playing over there. It wasn't really that bad. She was telling me what to do. Like, use the force to open the lever over there. Oh, okay. So it was something that kids can play, adults can play. You can play it with your kid. I know Heather and I did play it. She didn't mind it, so...
You can play it with your kid. Heather and I played it.
Getting at its family, its kids, its wife and girlfriend friendly, which is always a bonus, that you can both sit on the couch and play video games and you don't get yelled at for it because she's involved. They have, you know, the blasters. They have the authentic sounds from the movie, the blaster noises, the lightsaber noises. It was a fun game. Would I buy the game? I'm not so sure because, like I said, it's pretty repetitive. It's definitely a long rental or maybe twice in a row a rental if you get in the itch to just blow stuff up. If you find it on sale, I would pick up Lego Star Wars. Out of a 10, I would probably give it an 8. But again, the biggest detriment to it is that it is repetitive and it's just, it gets old. I mean, you can only play those types of games for so long and you just get bored of it. It's the same thing. Yeah, different enemies, different levels, but whatever. It's just kind of button mashing. Cool to kill a couple hours, but after that, that's about the end of it. Now, maybe little kids have a better attention span than I do, but whatever.
My biggest concern was that you couldn't build anything out of the Legos.
And that's a valid concern.
Like, so why is it Lego Star Wars? Just because it was easy to make?
Pretty much. I mean, that was what people were asking was, because that's what Heather said.
I could model that crap.
You've gotten all these pieces, like, can you make cool new spaceships? Can you make little robots that follow you around and stuff? The answer to all those questions is, no, not at all. It's currency. Kind of lame, kind of cheesy, yes, I know. You can't even build... You do build bridges, but it's kind of a pre-scripted... You know, you cut apart a tree, it'll fall apart into 10 different pieces, and then Obi-Wan will use the force to make a platform that you jump on the platform and you get to the next area. It's all pre-scripted. It's not like it's a free, expansive level that you can kind of have free reign to do what you want. So no, you can't build stuff. As far as the graphics are, if you took real-life Lego people, animated them a little better so that they had a couple more points of movement... I mean, it looks, the trees and everything else is those little blocky blocks. So yes, it's kind of a cheaty kind of developer trick so that it's easier to code, but it really did. It fit. I don't know what else to say. It fit. It's like Star Wars. It sounded like Star Wars. It was kind of cool. It didn't bother me that the graphics were Lego. You know, it was cool that every little thing that you blow up, I mean, like, for example, C-3PO, he gets shot. Well, one of his arms will blow off. It'll be little golden Lego pieces.
Sell it.
You hop around, you know. C-3PO is hopping around on one leg because he's been shot 3 times, you know. It's fun to play as Jar Jar and run him out into the army of stormtroopers and get him shot, you know, where his little head's sitting there and there's just Lego blood and guts everywhere. So it was a fun game, and I didn't have a problem with the graphic.
I think it sounds clever, especially when they fall apart and you get Legos out of it.
I think as far as...
It,
replay value goes, there's tons of stuff to unlock. There's levels to unlock. I mean, I want to say there's at least 20 different characters. I mean, you got all the Jedis, all the good guys, all the bad guys. Yes, you can play as the Emperor, Jango Fett, Boba Fett, three different versions of the Clone Trooper, Stormtroopers, Chewbacca, just everybody.
Can you play as Felicious Krim?
I don't know. I really don't know.
That'd be awesome. That'd make the game for me. I'd buy it right now. I wouldn't.
What the hell did I just watch that had Felicious Krim in it?
Maybe Return of the Jedi?
The hell's Felicious Krim?
He's Jabba's little butt nugget that's always sticking around laughing at everything.
Stuck to his butt,
was that
maybe?
The black chick with her face painted all blue
no.
and stuff?
No,
he's a little puppet-looking gnome.
He looks
thing.
Like a Fraggle, kind
with
of.
A gremlin.
Oh.
And he just sits okay. on Jabba and he goes...
with the big ears.
Yes.
Next topic.
You are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. We thank you very much for listening. Please check out our website.
Close on a strong note. Lego Star Wars.
DreamStation,
bring it hard.
DreamStation.cc, get news, there's forums, set up your podcast feeds, reviews, etc. We do thank you for listening. We hope you'll tune in again, same time next week.